We're studying that word rejoice and what it means and how it's used. Let's go. We were in Philippians 4, so or we stopped in Philippians 3, so go to Philippians 4. Well, we didn't finish what we were. What we got finished verse or chapter four, chapter three. I mean, does anybody have any general remembrance of what we talked about yesterday? Rejoice in the Lord always. What did that mean? Yeah, the Magi rejoiced exceedingly.
The stars and the star map.
Because they had been waiting for generations for that star. They knew it was coming.
Yeah. And they rejoiced.
With exceeding great joy.
Must have been a day.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't three Magi, it was three presents. Each one of them had a spiritual significance. They probably bought a lot more than that, but maybe, who knows? They only mentioned three because they were the spiritual types to predict what's happening, what would happen to Christ. Anyway, Philippians, well, let's. We ended at 18, I think, but we'll do it, say it again. For many walk of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're believers, but they're the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose glory, whose God is their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things.
What is it that whose end is destruction? That's pretty severe. I guess the destruction is they are going to be sorely disappointed. And
well, there's going to, you know, the instance is, I mean, the intent here is that they're not being saved. But the whole thing about the Bible doesn't rarely talks about hell in terms of going, you know, hell is really, it's Gehenna, that's why they translated hell. Gehenna is the valley outside of this river that goes down on one side of the temple. And it was the garbage heap. And then it set it on fire all the time to stop it from smelling up Jerusalem. And so that's where they get. But then they've taken that hell and forgot that it means that Gehenna, and now it's some other place where you're going to go if you're a bad guy or girl. Well, all of us are. None of us. But the idea is that if you are still a follower of the world and with the name of Christ on you, you're going to go to the garbage dump. All right.
How about whose glory is in their shame?
Their shame because they think they are doing God's work. The shame is that they're just running around in the world doing the two things that, the only two things that Christ ever said he hated, is the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The doctrine of Balaam is mixing God's stuff with the world, and getting paid for it. And the other, Nicolaitans, is teaching success in the name of God. But we have to be careful here, because that's what we talked a great deal yesterday about, glorying or rejoicing in tribulation and testing. Because from a spiritual standpoint, we know that that's the only way you'll be conformed to the image of God, the image of Christ. Let's go to James before we go to Philippians, finish Philippians. I think, James. Yeah, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. This is written by James, was the brother of Jesus. He was the older brother. And he became what they then called the bishop, but wasn't the same as what we now think. He became the bishop of Jerusalem. He was the head of all the churches in Jerusalem, and then he was killed. One of the first martyrs. It was interesting, his brother was one of the first martyrs. All right. My brethren, count it the highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations or testings. So when things are not going the way you think they should, then you should count it the highest joy that you're not, because God by His Spirit is keeping you out of stuff which isn't our business. And that includes ourself. And then the thing that goes on down, the reason that happens is in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. By slowly but surely, instead of leaning on your own arm of understanding, you rejoice, or you communicate, it's all between you and God in Christ. And you never put you in the picture. Anyway, that what's going on. But, and this is a series of the tests do what we're talking about now. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience must have her perfect work, that you may, and perfect is teleos. It does not mean perfect as we understand it. Teleos means fully tested. That patience may have her perfect work. That you may, in other words, that you would be fully tested, and you can't be swayed by anything. Entire, wanting nothing. Now, one of the great mysteries to me when I was a new believer, I memorized right away the 23rd Psalm. I didn't know it had anything to do with what it's always read at funerals now, but it's the first sentence. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's, you don't want anything. You don't need anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that'll knock your socks off if you consider it. Anyway, let's go on. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea. Driven with wind and toss, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because he's double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Anyway, again, it's counted the highest joy when you fall into crap you really don't want and like at all.
What does the word upbraideth mean?
Hmm?
The word upbraideth?
It means to chew out.
Pardon me?
To scold or chew out.
Oh, thank you.
It's like not withholding almost the context there. Isn't it?
What?
Well, it's almost like not withholding. Let me see. If any of you likewise, let him ask of God that give it to all liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't take it back. He gives freely. Unless
you're double-minded.
Yeah.
So if you're double-minded, you're going to get upbraided all the time. But you'll always blame it in somebody else. You'll blame it in Satan or something. And again, you don't do this consciously. It's just, well, bless him, blah, blah, blah. Cuss him out in your mind.
This, to me, is tied to Galatians 2:20, where it's the faith of Christ in him. There's no double-mindedness.
Right. The faith of Christ is that empty vessel.
Yeah.
The conduit directly between you and God. There's no more having to do something about something. All right, back to Philippians. Therefore, verse 4, or chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for,
Where do we go back?
Back to Philippians 4.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 4. Yeah. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Again, I beseech you, I'm going to have to get. Oh, that light isn't on. No wonder.
I thought I was going blind more than I am already. Where is the thing?
Lower. There you go.
Not only I can't see, I can't see.
Can't see and see.
All right. I beseech Euodius, and beseech. I can't even pronounce that. Trike, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Somehow Paul found out that there were people without the same mind, and he's upbraiding them. And again, and I entreat thee also, truly yoke fellows, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement, whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation when you really look at this word, let your moderation be known to all men, it's really saying, the core of meaning of it is let your faith be known, that no one doubts your faith. Excuse me.
I have a comment here. I just, in reading what we just read and about being of the same mind, comes on the tail of they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So that's his preaching. That's his message. And then he goes in to be of the same mind. So
yeah,
that's that tie-in.
That's a good point, because there were no chapters. Or...
Yeah. There's no way to be of the same mind except that.
Except dying.
Yeah.
All right. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation or faith be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, let's talk. I want to just real quickly go to where he's talking about that these women labored with him in the gospel with Clement. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Physically, mentally, I'm not well. Oh, no wonder I was looking in the wrong place. Let's go to Romans 16. And if it's not there, we're not going to look at it until I get find out tomorrow. Yeah, here it is. Chapter 16, verse 1. I commend you I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in the Synthrop, whatever that is, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she hath need of. For she hath been a helper of many, and of myself also, and then also then greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And then he goes on to say, and salutes more people. But he specifically saluted again in what we just studied in Philippians. But in the Nolan's books, I've been reading of the first century, from first and second century letters, that they always did this when any of them were in prison. They always named. And mostly as they named the women as the helpers that saved them, literally. And it's like now, women shall not preach in church. Well, that's nutty, but it's there because from the standpoint of God, we are neither male nor female, bond or free. We are members of the body of Christ. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. So all of that stuff about whatever, even that was for the, when the church was just beginning. And more than likely, if some have specified that in those first years, they didn't have the women that went until later, like here with Paul, that the women went with him and ministered, and they ministered unto the people that they were going to just as much as Paul did, or more so, and preached more, just as much as Paul did, in some cases more so. So I just read this thing by some idiot preacher about he kicked out these people because they let a woman preach in their church. We'd be in bad shape if we did that here.
That was kind of a cultural time where everything was different for men and women, wasn't it? It's almost like the ram.
Not in part of the world, obviously, it still is, but not in Greece. Greek was, they were the most uniform. I mean, and there was, they didn't see a difference, except obviously.
Yeah.
I certainly would never look at a man lustfully, but I've been known in the past not to do that. I don't do that anymore. My fingers were crossed when I said it.
You're not going to hold it against me.
Well, I wanted to talk about this rejoice always a little bit more. It's over, you know, we sing the songs about rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, 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 again I say rejoice. But in the scriptural context, it's really important. Because if you forget it, your mind will always return to self.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
I said, yeah, amen.
And especially like in the midnight hour, when you can't sleep or something, then you start musing about everything except prayer and thanksgiving, probably. But this idea then about rejoice always. That only had meat for me in those occasions when I was either running away or, you know, people leaving, whatever it was. It's finally I've learned to rejoice in all things. Yesterday, talking about rejoice, this group from Holland are doing a televangelist kind of look. And they were here to do it, to interview T.D. Jakes. And, you know, they interviewed Pete, which I was out of it. And then I remembered something that would enhance this meeting with T.D. Jakes, and so I told Pete, and he told them, and then they wanted to interview me. But so they interviewed me while I was in bed, because I was really hurting from the sinus cavity stuff. And I guess it went all right.
They were really pleased that they could get that 10, 15 minutes, however long it was. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I've never been interviewed in bed before. That's been the biggest no-no in the universe for my own ego. Anyhow, any other thoughts on rejoice always?
I have one on a little thing back, the idea of whose glory is in their shame.
I don't understand that story.
And the shame is the fall. The shame is humanity. The shame is ourselves. And we're always trying to fix ourselves and make ourselves acceptable and not shameful. And so we hear Christ and we go, oh yeah, that'll fix me. And so we attach him to ourselves as a covering. And we glory, but it's still our shame. We don't pick up the cross, which was the whole point there. You don't.
Yeah, you glory. Is there shame? It's just exactly that.
It's
you're trying to have salvation without death.
Exactly. Yeah.
perhaps salvation without people, without faith.
And that's your whole televangelist thing. They're preaching glory to the self, and they do a good job, and people fill arenas, and they teach them to glory in their shame and cover their shame, but not die. You know, the cross is a very clean, specific.
Man.
You don't get it. Christ died, you die.
If one died for all, all are dead. Jesus Christ. The reason, and we talked about this, but I've got a couple minutes. The reason it waited until 70, God held back the destruction of the temple to give that generation that had been born after Christ's death one more chance to see Christ in the temple. There's no evidence they did, but it was in God's equanimity. Is that a word?
That's a good word. Equanimity.
I don't think I've ever used that word before. Equanimity, I'll probably use it 3 or 4 times now.
Might not be appropriate. It's a good word.
How about this person,
too? But the idea of seeing that from God's standpoint, of seeing he still gave man, human race, a chance. He still gave the Jews a chance.
Yeah.
Even after the terrible suffering and death of his son and resurrection. But unless they saw in that temple what they were worshiping, they were worshiping idols, but they were doing it in the temple.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that God told Adam. What? He told them to name the names. And as soon as he did, then they had the capacity to leave innocence because they saw, could see separation between themselves and others and trees and stuff. Before, they were innocent. There was no separation. And well, I might have seen that's a cow, but and look, this is a tree. You didn't separate. And so once you separate, then the fall is. But the grace of God is still allowed all of them. I still can never understand why Adam and Eve didn't repent. I mean, it certainly gave them opportunity.
Yeah.
And so it's the same. I mean, I've always wondered why it took me so long to repent of different things. And it's mainly because I'm stupid. Trading some idiot idea for the grace of God, or as the grace of God. And it's the mind is evil above all things. It's the serpent. It's the instead of Christ. And you, the temple. That's why I pray that you rapidly learn and see the intense evilness of your own mind. If you don't see it, you're conning yourself or trying to keep yourself alive.
So we still want to, I can speak for myself and probably for a lot of other people, because we want to be spiritual hybrids.
You want to be, I didn't
spiritual understand. Spiritual hybrids.
Hybrids.
Hybrid?
Hybrid.
H-Y-B-R-E-D, like the car.
Combination.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you want to keep.
Use gas, electricity.
You want to keep the world, in a way you can keep the world in the picture is by.
Yeah.
What you just said.
Electric is a kingdom, fossil fuels is war.
I can't hear you, but I assume somebody will tell me what you just said.
Electric is a kingdom, fossil fuels is the world.
Okay. All right. if we do what I think we're going to do, we're going to study Corinthians, the fourth chapter, tomorrow, if I'm able, if I'm here.
The problem with turning your phone off until 8 o'clock, because all your messages show up at 8 o'clock. make that much noise.
That's the problem.
I don't get that many messages in 2 days.
It's because people know you don't read your texts.
Yeah. What?
People know you don't read your texts, so yeah. Why send them?
Besides, no one likes you, so.
That's true. Take it, big guy, quickly.